Welcome to the Christian Ministries Church Podcast. As you listen, we pray God's blessing be over you and that He will empower you with inner strength through His Spirit. Now let's join Pastor Ashley Ellison.
I want to do tonight, I want to continue on with what I've been doing the last couple of weeks. And this will be my last one, maybe, on prayer. I want to talk about prayer tonight. James 5:16, the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. We've been talking about that, and it's important that we know that. Prayer, just a couple of things to go back over. Prayer is communing with God. Prayer is co-laboring with God. Prayer is partnering with God. And there's just some things that we've got to know to have an effective prayer life. And we talked about this last week. The first thing is we have to have an understanding that God is good. We have to understand that. To believe that God is good, you've got to be careful about being suspicious of God's ultimate goodness towards us. And there are times in a Christian's life that we get suspicious of that. I mean, we quote John 10:10 all the time. The thief comes. And I hear it out of people's mouths. The thief comes. But what I'm wanting people to be saying is, but I have come. That's Jesus, what he said, that you can have life and life more abundant. Instead of talking about everything that's been stolen from you, how about let's talk about what's been given to us? The thief comes. I get that. The devil is not what was intended for you to be focused on in that verse. But for the Christian life, a lot of us focus on the thief. Come on, I came, he said, that you could have life and life more abundant. God wants to keep you in the abundant life, and he don't want, not one time does he want to give the thief access to your life. Now, we know that he wants it. The thief wants it. We get that, but we're not living on what the thief wants. See, we've got to live on what Jesus wants for us and what is available to us. We mentioned, if God were to answer every prayer that we pray immediately, what would Christian people be like? They'd be spoiled. Now, I'm all about prayer being answered immediately, but if every prayer came that way, it's just like every kid that gets everything they want every time they say anything. But there are times that we've got to prevail in prayer over time. And so we've got to continue to pray and keep praying and keep believing. We don't want to be raising spoiled, weak, entitled Christians. However, isn't it awesome at times that God allows prayer to be answered instantly? And I've already had some wonderful testimonies as to immediate answered prayer on Sunday. What a great day. What a great day. We talked about two aspects of our prayer life that God is building in us. And one is faith. And the other one is power. And we're going to get into a little more of that tonight. Faith in our lives, we've got to live on. And too oftentimes the Christian's just looking at everything they can see and they're not living on faith. Faith has got to be what we live on. And that doesn't always operate based on what we see with our physical eyes, but what we see with our faith eyes, what God's promises are. Now, there are delayed prayers and there are answered prayers that are instant. There are delayed answered prayers, I should say, and there are delayed answered prayers and instant answered prayers. God's a builder and he uses both. I will not accept a lie that God doesn't want to do something supernatural. That is a lie. I believe that God always wants to do something supernatural. And there are times that in your prayer life, it gets mundane, and we talked about this, just like a diet, you quit losing weight, and you're on a plateau, and you just kind of, and people will get that in their Christian walk, and what I'm telling you, you got to shock your system. Well, how do you do that? There are times you might need to go and get out of your comfort zone in prayer. Go and do something you've not been doing in your prayer life. Do something different. Tonight, we ended there last week. And we spent a lot of time last week and the week before asking, seeking, knocking, what is available to us. But what I want to do is I just want to spend just a moment on something that really profoundly affected my life when I had a revelation of this. And it was my revelation. It wasn't like all of a sudden God just started this for people. It was just, I finally realized that this was available. And I pray that this is for you. See, I always just didn't know that God really liked me because I wasn't always good. And I'm still not always good. And there are times that, come on, we've all fallen and come short of the glory of God. Now, we're not sinners saved by grace. We are saints who occasionally mess up. Okay, I'm not going to sit here and just okay sin in a life. Occasionally, there's a mess up, but I'm a saint of God. And because of what Jesus did, I have a different walk. I have a different talk. I have a different life. Now, every once in a while, I'm not exactly what, but understand that then that's revealed to me and I walk different. But I never could when I was growing up, I was always just waiting for like God to whoop me. That's kind of what I thought of him. I didn't think he really liked me, and I didn't know anything about him enjoying me. And I can tell you, if that's your view of God, you won't spend a lot of time with him. Because people don't spend time with someone that they don't think likes them. In fact, they avoid trying to talk to them. Nor do they want to spend time with someone who doesn't enjoy them. Let that get in your thinker for just a little bit. I thought God was mad at me because every time I'd messed up, I messed up again today. And it's just so easy to fall under the condemnation of the enemy. Because the enemy is always reminding you and me of our shortcomings and our failures in life. Now, I'm not giving him any authority there, but I'm telling you, he's yelling it all the time to God's people. You are a failure. You're no good. And it's just easy to fall under the condemnation of the enemy and think that God doesn't like you. Because that's what the enemy wants you to think. See, if you don't understand an absolute goodness of God and that he has good intentions towards you, you'll think not only that God sees the bad in you, but you'll start thinking everybody else does too. Everybody else sees my failures. Everybody else sees my mistakes. Everybody else is in, and you just think that everybody else, after they get out of your sight, is pointing out you're bad, pointing out what you've done wrong, and you're no good, and that's just all they think and all they think. And what you got to know is that God says something different in his word about what he thinks. And when you start understanding what God says about you, there comes a point where you start thinking other people might even like you. Really? Yeah, it's true. There's so many Christians walking in insecurities. They're walking daily in insecurities because they have a wrong view of God. Boy, I'm gonna get kind of deep tonight, and I hope you'll allow this teaching to get inside of you. I finally had a revelation that God didn't just love me, he delighted in me. God loves you. You hear that all the time. God loves you. Well, how could he love me? God doesn't just love you. He delights in you. When I got that, I'd get up in the morning, and I wouldn't get up going, okay, what am I going to mess up today and make God mad at me about? But I'd get up in the morning, and I'd want to talk to him. See, he's not just waiting for you to mess up. He's waiting for you to get up and get excited about him. Let's get up and get excited about your day and the things that you've got to have this if you're going to have an effective prayer life. You've got to have a right view of God or you're not going to spend time with him in prayer. If every time you pray, all you hear is condemning voices coming back at you, an area that you're falling behind in and you've missed out here and you're just never going to get it. You're just never going to get it. And that's what you hear yourself. Maybe it's your voice saying it. Well, how could my voice say it? You need to know this tonight. Those voices that you're hearing are not God. You got to have that revelation. I want to empower people tonight through the word. The enemy is good at discussing you're bad. That's what he wants to do. He'll use your own voice and say you're no good. Because that's not God. God doesn't do that. Jesus took all of our accusations against us, all of our condemnations, all of our judgment, and he bore it in his body on the cross. So we, well, I know, I believe that, Pastor, and I think that's right, but we don't have to allow this negativity about what God thinks of us to keep interrupting our intimacy that God desires with us. God the Father wants you to develop a relationship with Him, and we have to understand that in prayer, we are going to be co-laboring with God. And one way we do this is to have the right view. Now, I spent time on that last week, but I didn't get that deep. Many people's prayer life is sterile. It's not producing anything. It's only done out of obligation. And there's many Christians that only do it when it's repetitive prayer. And we say the same thing over and over. It's not out of a sincere desire to spend time with God or to see Him implement His power in and through you. So many in their prayer life are seen as beggars. We're Christian beggars. That's who we are. They're not seen as an effective prayer warrior. They're seen as, oh God, please, please, please. It's like we're begging for something that they should know is already theirs. I don't have my kids ever come in my house and say, Dad, please, can I have a drink? Please, please, can I have some of what's in the fridge? Please. No, they shop at my house and they don't leave any money. Why? Because they know everything in there they have access to. And we're coming to God acting like we don't have access. God, please, God, please. Whoa, we don't need to be Christian beggars. Well, Pastor, you got to get deeper here. We're going to get deeper. The disciples, they would watch Jesus and they would just marvel. I mean, scripture after scripture, they knew what they were hearing was way different than what the religious leaders of that day were saying in their prayers and the repetitive prayers and all. Jesus, he looked to heaven and they could see he was making a connection with another world. And they knew the religious leaders and other people that day, they weren't doing that. Jesus, teach us to pray like you pray. So that's what they teach us, to connect with the Father like we see your connection. Matthew 6, the Lord's Prayer. Now, I grew up in a lot of different arenas, and I don't know if anybody else would say, yeah, I did too, repeating this prayer everywhere. Our band, when we would go into competition, when we would go out on the field, before we go out on the field at halftime, we would have someone there, because the teachers even then couldn't leave, but someone would stand up and say, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. And they would start that, and we would all be praying it. Now, I was sincere, because I believed in God, and I wanted to pray that, and I wasn't sitting here putting that down, and I don't want you to hear tonight that I'm putting that down. But that was given by Jesus after it was one of those things. Teach us how to pray, God. Father, I need to connect with you. Jesus, how do you do that? And Jesus was saying, here's how you do it. No, I'm not going to go through that whole prayer, but it's an outline of how you need to be approaching God. Now, can you pray that prayer? Yes, and I'm not here to say that you can't pray that prayer, but what I'm saying is it's an outline of here's how you pray. Here's how you need to. Our Father, oh God, omnipotent, you are almighty. See, you need to understand, this is how we approach God, with who He really is. Your name. And I don't have time to go into all of that tonight, or I'm not going to go into all that. You can go and Google the Lord's Prayer, and you can really look up a lot on that. You got to be careful about Google, but I'm just saying there's a lot of things you can look up that can talk about how Jesus said to pray, and you can read it right there out of Matthew. Matthew 6:10. Father, I pray, and this is out of a different translation than you may be looking at right now. Father, I pray that the influence and dominion of heaven comes to planet Earth. Manifest your kingdom realm. Cause every purpose to be fulfilled on earth just as it is fulfilled in heaven. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. You just start reading that and you start really looking at different translations. There's a co-laboring going on here. There's a relationship here. Jesus is, what he's doing in this, he's partnering with God. He's showing, this is what we do, we partner with God. This position was not just for Jesus, the Son of Man, but it goes all the way back to the beginning of creation. Let's turn to Genesis chapter 1, verse 26. Let me just read the first part of verse 26. It says, then God said, let us. Let me tell you, when he says us, right there at the beginning, he's talking about the Godhead, the Trinity. He's talking about the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Let us make human beings in our image to be like us. That's what God says. Let's make human beings in our image to be like who? Like God the Father, Son, and the Spirit. That's what we were created to be like. Then it says in verse 26, it says, they will reign over the fish in the sea, the birds in the sky, the livestock, all the wild animals on the earth, and the small animals that scurry along the ground. So God created human beings in his own image. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them. Then God blessed them and said, be fruitful and multiply. Fill the earth and what? Govern it. Be fruitful, multiply, fill the earth and govern it. Reign over the fish in the sea, the birds in the sky, and all the animals that scurry along the ground. Now, if you read this and you just keep reading it, you will see these words in there in verse 26. You see in verse 28. They will reign. Let them rule. Another translation. They will reign. They is not talking about the Godhead. It's talking about human beings. Human beings. You and I. They will reign. They will rule. And it shows God's plan from the very beginning of time. The impact, the influence that man is to have on this earth. God defined the boundaries of his rights to influence the earth. You mean God has boundaries on planet earth that he himself operates on? Yes! It's hard for many people to think that God would set up boundaries that he himself would operate by. He didn't say, God the Father, Son, and the Spirit will reign. He said, man will reign. You need to see this because a lot of people have problems with this, but I want to look at this scripturally. And when you get it, it'll start shaping the way you pray. See, he wasn't talking about the Trinity ruling. He was talking about mankind ruling. Now, there are some rules that have been established right here, and I want to give you three of them tonight. As we're talking about going deeper in our prayer life, the first one is legal authority to have dominion on the earth was given to mankind only. Legal authority to have dominion on the earth was given to mankind only. God didn't give it to himself. A lot of people have a problem with this, but I need you to hear me out tonight. Legal authority to have dominion on the earth was given to mankind only. Number two, God did not include himself in that legal authority structure. You can read that over and over again and you can see where he didn't. He wasn't in that structure. He gave legal authority to mankind. And number three, man is the legal steward of the earth and had responsibility for what's happening on the earth. Any influence from the realm of heaven will only happen through mankind. Pastor, I just don't know if I believe. God subjected himself to his own laws. Yeah, I just don't know. Whenever God speaks, do you believe that when he speaks, he stands behind what he says? Yeah, I believe that. He willfully obligates himself to what he says. Here's why. I don't know if you've ever heard this growing up, but you're no better than your word. I don't know if your mom or dad ever said that to you. You're no better than your word. If your word's no good, you're no good. I mean, always keep your word. Never lie. Always keep what you have said. If you don't keep your word, what happens? Your name will not be great. If you don't keep your word, your name's not great. What makes God's name great? Jesus, the greatest name. Jesus always keeps his word. So when he set that up, he's not going to go against what he said. When God speaks, he's going to do it. Any law of God is a law to God. He abides by his own laws. You got to get this. The principle is it's critical if you're going to see the purpose of prayer and you're going to go somewhere in your prayer life. Let me give you a definition of prayer. I've given two or three of them. I'll give you another one tonight. Man giving God legal right and permission to interfere in earth's affairs. Man giving God legal, you mean man can give God? Man giving God legal right and permission to interfere in earth's affairs. Oh, God's in charge. God's in charge. Yes and no. You see it online all the time. Don't you worry, honey. God's in control. You see that all the time. Well, to the lost person that don't understand what I'm talking about tonight, that's hard for them. Well, God's in control, and look where my life is right now. So we must not have a good God. And that's kind of messing things. God's in charge. What you have to understand is, yes, and he delegated his charge to you. That's the thing we're missing. It's like when I leave my home and we have someone stay there, I say, you're in charge. You're in charge. Now, what does that mean? It means they're in charge. Well, how do they operate? They can't get a hold of me. I'm gone. I'm out of here. I left my cell phone. I don't want to be bothered. You're in charge. You make every decision. What's that mean? They make every decision. That's what happens when I put someone there and I say, you're in charge, they're in charge. Now, when I get back after putting them in charge, what do? Thank you. Now I'm in charge again. And what I'm telling you, God set up something very similar when he said, mankind is in charge. You're in charge. See, Jesus hasn't come back yet, but he's going to. But right now, what are we doing? When he left, he sent a helper, a teacher. He sent power through all of the avenues. He sent somebody to fill us so we could model what Jesus modeled. That's why it's imperative that you understand the empowerment of the Holy Spirit. He gave so much for us to walk in the dominion that he said he was given to us. Turn to Matthew chapter 16. As you're turning there, I want to once again say the same definition for prayer I just said. Man giving God legal right and permission to interfere in earth's affairs. Here's the second definition that I want you to see tonight. Prayer is man exercising his legal authority to invoke heaven's influence on earth. He's gone? Yeah, but he didn't leave his cell phone. He didn't leave us unavailable. He left himself available to empower us to accomplish his will. To accomplish his things. Matthew 16, verse 19 says, I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Whatever you forbid on earth will be forbidden in heaven. And whatever you permit on earth will be permitted in heaven. I will give who? This is Jesus talking. I will give you. I give you the keys. I give you whatever you forbid on earth will be forbidden. Whatever you permit. Matthew 18, verse 18. I tell you the truth. Whatever you forbid on earth will be forbidden in heaven. Whatever you permit on earth will be permitted in heaven. And I tell you this. If two of you agree here on earth concerning anything you ask, my Father in heaven, not here on earth, my Father in heaven will do it for you. For where two or three gather here as my followers, that brings me right there. Jesus shares something here with his disciples that they needed to know for when he was gone. You know, if he was sharing with his disciples, now hear me tonight. If he's sharing this with his disciples and he's saying, you need to know this while I'm gone and then I'll come back. And we all agree he hasn't came back yet. Then this is for us too. This wasn't just for the disciples. And a lot of people missed that teaching. Well, that was great for back then. He hasn't come back yet. This is for us right now, especially for where we're at today. John 16, verse 23. And I'm going to read this, and you may just want to listen because I doubt anybody has this translation. This is out the Passion Translation. Here's what it says. For here is eternal truth. When that time comes, you won't need to ask me for anything, but instead you will go directly to the Father. See, when I'm gone, you won't need to ask me for anything. It's what Jesus is telling them. But instead, you'll go directly to the Father and ask him for anything you desire, and he will give it to you because of your relationship with me. Boy, I like this. I like this a lot. Verse 24, until now, you've not been bold enough to ask the Father for a single thing in my name. But now you can ask and keep on asking. And you can be sure that you'll receive what you ask for, and your joy will have no limits. See, the disciples at that time, they would go to Jesus and they could ask him anything. Would you agree with that? I mean, in Scripture, the disciples could go to Jesus and ask anything they wanted. And now he's telling them, but I'm getting ready to leave, and while I'm gone, you need to know you can go directly to God. You can go directly to God. Church, let me just give you some real teaching tonight. You don't pray to Jesus. What Jesus did is he died on the cross and he made it possible for you to have access to the Father. He said, I am the door. That's what he said. I don't ever talk to a door. I talk to who's inside. And see, Jesus is the door and he made me available to have actually direct access to the Father. Jesus is saying, I've made a way. Church, you can have the same access that Jesus had to the Father, and these scriptures reveal that the legal dominion we have is real. It's been given. Let me say something that you might want to write down or you might want to put in you to never forget. God has never done anything on planet Earth outside of creation without the cooperation of humanity. Well, God will do whatever he wants. Yeah, he wants you to take dominion. And he gave you that opportunity, and we need to understand a little more about prayer and why it's important that we pray. I want you to think about this. God has never done anything on planet Earth outside of creation without the cooperation of humanity. You say, well, I don't know. Well, let me just give you some stories out of the Bible to back that up. He rescued humanity from a worldwide flood. And who'd he use? Noah. See, he uses humanity. The creation of a nation, who to use? Abraham. He had to have someone to lead the nation. And he did a great job and he led the nation. Who was that? Moses. You just keep salvation of mankind. God could, I understand what he could have done. But why did he send Jesus? Because he had to invade earth through a man. Man messed it up and it had to be man that could get it right. And so he sent Jesus in the form of a man. And so when you understand that, you start understanding a little bit more about prayer. He came as a man. And God rules in planet heaven. And we rule on planet earth. Now, I don't know. I have a problem. That's why we have to be full of the Holy Spirit of God. You can't do this. You can't do this without the Holy Spirit of God. I could go on into Genesis, and I could just talk more and more about Satan and what Adam did by giving dominion to Satan, and then Jesus come to get it back, and because Jesus came to get it back, now we don't have to do the sacrificial system that was outlined in the Old Testament, and we have direct access to God. See, that's just in a nutshell what happened. We've got to be full of the Holy Spirit, and we've got to be praying every day because we are God's legal authority on planet Earth. I want to encourage you to listen to this over and over again. Heaven needs you, and he needs me to give it a license to interfere in Earth's affairs because that's the way God set it up. That's why I say, if we won't, heaven can't. Really? Yeah. If you're not going to pray, you're not going to access the legal authority that God set up. People have said, God, why did you let that happen? And God says, why did you let that happen? Boy, this is deep. God says, why? If you go, and I don't want you to turn there, but Habakkuk in Scripture, gloom and doom, things not going well with God's people. He started asking God why, and God said, I didn't start the wars, you did. I'm not the one fighting, you are. God just kind of said it straight there. You might want to read that. Come on, you got to hear what I'm saying. How do we pray? Many are like, oh God, please, please, and we're coming across as beggars, and what we need to be praying is, God, thank you for the authority you made available in the name of Jesus. And right now, I declare your word over this situation. I take authority and I loose the anointing of your power upon this situation. And I'm just telling you, that's what invokes heaven into our stuff that we're dealing with right here. We've got to have some prayer warriors, not some prayer weenies. We got to have some people that will access the kingdom of God. Why? Because Jesus made that available. But he set it up for man to exercise. That's why it's important that we have a prayer life. That's why prayer is important. I never really understood this growing up. I just didn't get it. I thought you prayed to get saved, and you do. But there's so much more. Your kingdom come, and your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. How does that happen? Through the rule of man. Accessing the power of the Holy Spirit of God. How would you like a little bit of that here right now? Well, I don't know. It kind of scares me. You need to get the right thinking of who God is, because he's not a scary God. He's an awesome God. And he loves you. He cares about you. And he wants you in communication with him. When we pray earnestly and with authority, I'm telling you, start walking in the delight that God has in us. You start seeing it. You start not letting people demean you. You stop letting people have rule over you. Here's the thing, in the name of Jesus, that's got to change. By the power and the authority that God placed right here in humanity, through what Jesus did on the cross and the empowerment of the Holy Spirit in my life, Father, I access you and I need you right here. And then when you get in agreement, you just watch, he's right there. That's why when you watch what happened Sunday, well, I don't know what happened Sunday morning. You got a bunch of people in agreement, got a bunch of people, and God just came down and said, here I am. Here I am. I'm here for what you're in need of. Why? Because we've got a bunch of people believing. I want to give you four practical steps. I can talk about the supernatural all night, but you know me, I just got to give something practical. And so here's four practical steps that we have to apply to our prayer life. Number one, set a specific time to pray. Set a specific time to pray on a daily basis. Now know this. I know you can pray on Sunday mornings. I know that you should be praying all the time. But you need to set a specific time that you spend with God in prayer. And you start working on that being a time that's His. Just like you have time with your family around a dinner table or for breakfast or for special things throughout your week. When does God have special time? Set a time. Number two. Set a specific place for that special time. Specific place. You've heard the term prayer closet. It can be a closet. Your closet may not be big enough to fit you in. So I'm not talking about, I'm just talking about a place where you get away with God. Number three, remove distractions that can hinder your prayer. When we're on the road and we're speaking somewhere, and I'll get a room somewhere to go in, and I'm praying, because I always spend time, a lot of time on Sunday morning. I just want to pray. I just want to spend time with the Lord. I want to get my heart and mind right before I come and deliver anything that he's got to say through me. I want to spend time with him. And you know, it's really hard. I remember room after room I've been in to pray in. And it's hard for me because it's not a specific place. And I'm always caught up with distractions. There's, oh, look at this picture. Look at this. Oh, close your eyes and just quit looking. I mean, it's just, you can sit there and you can get so caught up on distractions. You know, one of the biggest distractions we have in our day and life right now is a cell phone. Maybe you ought to just shut it off. I can't do that. Just try it for 3 minutes, 2 minutes. 1 minute, I'm looking around going, I don't know if I can do that. Just first, there's distractions, I believe, that are hindering our prayer life. Number four, and the last one, work at becoming consistent in prayer. If you're not used to praying a bunch, and you say, boy, I got that, Pastor. I'm going to spend time with God. I'm devoting an hour tomorrow morning. I can tell you, you'll get about 30 seconds in and say, I can't even think of anything else to say. It takes time to work up to spending a lot of time in prayer. So don't go overboard, and I'm going to spend an hour. It's just like if you've not been exercising and you're getting ready to run a 5K, you ain't doing it. And I know that prayer life takes some time, and it's good. We've got some people that meet for prayer here on Wednesdays. They meet on Sunday mornings before service. We've got some people that meet collectively for prayer, but I'm talking about your own personal prayer life. I'm talking about spending some time and get excited about your prayer life, not getting frustrated with your prayer life. I hope that maybe helps somebody as we've talked a little bit about prayer. I can go deep and deep and deep and deep, but you just got to read through the scripture. You might need to listen to this on podcast over and over again. You might want to order a CD of this because it's important that we understand the legal authority. Here's what I'm concerned about. Christians aren't living this. They don't understand it. And so the devil's winning a lot of battles that shouldn't be won because they just need a Christian to understand that they've been given dominion. They've been given rule, and all of that will happen through accessing heaven and you contacting God because of what Jesus did, staying in commune with him and allowing him to invade a legal authority to invade planet Earth with his will and change what was going to happen into something that he wants to happen. I don't understand all that, but we need the supernatural. And the way we're going to access the supernatural is with an understanding and then an application that we walk into. I don't know if that's good for anybody, but y'all stand with me.
We're so glad you joined us. For more information about this podcast and other resources, visit cmchurch.net.